Somebody testify. I think that's what you just did. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Not your grandfather's church service. Well, another week, another church service. Last week, we didn't have service. I wonder how many people were at home, rolled over in bed and said, can't go to church today. Where were you? What were you thinking about? Do I have to? Maybe that was you today. What difference does it make anyway? It's the same thing every Sunday. They talk about the same thing, Jesus. Even if we don't say that, a little part of us, that little sinful nature inside us, you know it's there. That's why sometimes we drag our feet when we come to church. That's why we sometimes we find it so much easier not to go or find something else that's more important in life. It's sometimes why we become just a little bit less satisfied with Jesus. I don't need Jesus that much this week. You know, your sinful nature doesn't want you to be here. But you also know, I hope, that you can't trust that sinful nature. Oh, our sinful nature knows exactly what's good for it, keeping us out of God's Word and away from Jesus. Good for your sinful nature, but bad for you. So that's why this whole church thing can be a fight on Sunday morning. If you ever have kids, or if you've been a kid, maybe you've been part of that fight. One comedian, Tim Hawkins, I think it is always talking about, let's go to church, we got to get to church so we can go praise Jesus. With the kids in the back seat. Were you ever part of that fight? It's not natural for us. It's not natural for us to go to church. We don't want to. But it's natural for Jesus. It's natural for Jesus. Our gospel reading says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. How about that? And Scripture is his word. He's devoted to it. Jesus attends services faithfully. To come to church is not a duty, he doesn't do it out of a sense of burden, not some obligation or have to. Not even as a matter of routine, but he comes out of love of being there. That's the life of Jesus. Jesus is the guy who, when he's tempted by the devil, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word of God is his food. Psalm 1 describes Jesus this way. Maybe you too, I don't know. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law, or Torah, of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Even if there's a snowstorm. Oh, that's not in there. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Boy, wouldn't you like that to describe you? It was normal for Jesus. It was natural for Jesus to be in church, to be in the synagogue, to hold God's word sacred, and to gladly hear and learn it. But this Sabbath day was unlike all the other ones that he had been there before. This time, Jesus didn't come to the Nazareth synagogue as just the son of Joseph, as it was supposed, like they were used to seeing him for the last 30 years, he'd done that. He'd been an obedient son for 30 years. This time, he wasn't there to be a hearer of the word. This time, he went to the Nazareth synagogue as a teacher, as a rabbi, you might say as a guest preacher in his home congregation. He went as the Son of God the Father in heaven. That's different. That's different. Not your grandfather's church service. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The home folks in Nazareth had never seen this Jesus before. They'd never heard him like this. So whether they came that day out of habit or out of obligation or because mom and dad dragged them there, that day they got way more than they expected. This wasn't your grandfather's church service. This wasn't go through the motions, grab a cup of coffee and go home. No. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. First pew, what do you think? First pew. And all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Isn't that a great description? All the eyes in the church were fixed on him. Can you imagine the look on the attendant's face when Jesus handed him the scroll? Something like that. No dozing in the pew after a late night that day. No daydreaming about next Sunday's Super Bowl. No furtive glances at the watch or the phone. Wouldn't it be great if those words described us today? Jesus came. Jesus came, and all eyes were fixed on him. Then came the sermon, and it wasn't a lecture on theology or 10 ways to make the new you or what you gotta do to proclaim and do social justice in our world today. No, that wasn't the sermon that day. Jesus came and said in a very simple and profound way God's word and how it applied to the people there that day. He said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today. What Isaiah wrote, Jesus said, it's about me. Not Pastor Nickel, Jesus. It's about me. I'm the guy who's standing here in front of you. Jesus came in a real person, real flesh and blood, and he read from a real scroll. And he gave it back to a real attendant. And he spoke to real people about a real God who loves you. He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He came to do the year of the Lord's favor. And what that means is he's going to the cross to die for you and for me, to rise again, to ascend into heaven, to sit at the right hand of God, as we're about to confess, and to come again on the last day and raise us from the dead. That's the year of the Lord's favor for you and for me. That's what He came to proclaim. That's what He's proclaiming to you here today. Today, this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. If you need Jesus' flesh and blood, there it is. That's what you're going to receive. That's why He went to the synagogue that Sabbath day. All spoke well of Him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from His mouth. Way more gracious than mine. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" "No, not really. Not anymore. This is the Son of God telling you who He really is." And He comes to church faithfully too. Way more faithfully than you or I. He's here every Sunday. In His holy word that you said amen, amen to. Thank you. In His body and blood. And in the forgiveness of sins that offers you life and salvation. That's the point of every Sunday. That's the point of every church service. That you may believe that Jesus is who He says He is. He is the Christ, the anointed one, anointed by the Holy Spirit to say who He is today and every day. Not everybody who hears that believes. Maybe you ran into someone this week, like the people in Jesus' hometown, who didn't believe who He was. I did. I ran into some this week. What do they want from Jesus? Apparently, they don't want the good news that He proclaims, the liberty and forgiveness of sins. They don't want to be told that they have sinned. They don't want to be told that there are rules that apply to them, that they're accountable to God. They don't want to be accountable to anyone. That's our sinful nature. That's why we don't want to go to church on Sunday morning sometimes. That's us. And if we can't have Jesus the way we want Him, if I can't have God the way I want Him, so I can put Him in a little box, maybe up on the shelf, and take Him off when I need Him, then I'm going to throw Him off the cliff. Just like the people in Nazareth that day. They took Him to the top of the hill. Nazareth is on a hill. They were going to throw Him off the cliff. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. They didn't want to need a Savior. But they did need a Savior. And Jesus didn't let them murder Him that day. That day was saved for the cross. The day when our sinful natures murdered Him, along with the citizens of Nazareth. He knew that. That's why He came. That's why He can proclaim to you the year of the Lord's favor in His death and in His resurrection for you and me, so that our death is temporary. So that we will be raised just as He was raised. That is the year of the Lord's favor. That is the healing that He brings to all of us who are poor and distressed and in despair. Jesus came to be the Word that was despised, rejected, and crucified. He still comes, week after week, service after service, forgiving you, loving you, and having mercy on you. The joy of life in the church is that it's never just another church service. Every Sunday is a little Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and our resurrection. That is what gives us hope. That is what gives us purpose. That is what gives us direction in life, even while we still have a sinful nature. So we're not just that old sinful nature anymore. You can tell that part of you on Sunday morning and any other time to get out of here. Stop harassing me. Leave me alone, because Jesus is here. Because Jesus is here. Because Jesus is here. Because Jesus is here. That's just the way Jesus is. Always in church. Always in His Word. Always in His body and His blood for you and me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.